Let's turn our Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 17. It seems as we go through 1 Samuel that we're doing a lot of comparison here between David and Saul. We do the same thing this morning. We're looking at Saul's insecurity and David's integrity. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 55, it says, "And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, 'Abner, whose son is this youth?' And Abner said, 'As thy soul liveth, thou king, I cannot tell.' And the king said, 'Inquire thou whose son the stripling is.' And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand." That was quite a scene, wouldn't it be? "Saul said to him, 'Whose son art thou, thou young man?' David answered, 'I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.' It came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. And David went out and whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. It came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. The women answered one another as they played, and said, 'Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him, and he said, 'They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?' And Saul eyed David from that day forward." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we know that these things are included for our learning. Father, as we look at the life of Saul, as we look at the life of David, help us to understand where we need to be, whose example we need to follow. Father, we thank you that Christ came to live on this earth and to grow up, to become a man, to die on the cross for our sin and to rise again. And the Bible said he did all that for our example, that we might follow that example. Father, help us to follow Christ. Help us to live the right way. Help us to follow you and obey your word. Pray you'd help me to think clearly this morning. Help me to speak clearly. I pray that you would be honored and glorified through this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So David had just defeated Goliath. Saul and the army of Israel had watched the whole thing take place. Had just watched as this encounter unfolded. And they were able to pursue the Philistine army after that, and they were able to subdue some of them, some able to defeat some of them, and then they're able to go back, it says, and take the spoils out of their camp. But I want us to go back and review a little bit back in 1 Samuel chapter 16, just a couple minutes here, just a little bit. 1 Samuel 16, David is anointed king by Samuel. Shortly after that, we see in the end of that chapter that a man is sought to play music for Saul because Saul is troubled of spirit. He says, look out for a man who could come and play for him and calm his spirit. Well, and David is chosen. Look at chapter 16, verses 19 to 23. It says, "Wherefore Saul sent messengers unto Jesse and said, 'Send me David thy son, which is with the sheep.' And Jesse took an ass laden with bread and a bottle of wine and a kid and sent them by David his son unto Saul. And David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor-bearer. And Saul sent to Jesse, saying, 'Let David, I pray thee, stand before me, for he hath found favor in my sight.' And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from Saul, or from him. But go back to chapter 17, verse 55. And we read in that passage that we just read another indication of the confusion of Saul's mind. Because what's the question that he asks Abner? Who is this young man? Who is that guy that just defeated Goliath? Didn't Saul send for David back in chapter 16 to come and play for him, to come and be his armor bearer? Didn't Saul just talk to David in his tent when David was going to defeat Goliath? But we see the confusion of Saul's mind here. Some may say, well, it was because of all the stress Saul had because of the Philistines attacking, or maybe all the responsibilities on his mind about the king. I'm sure there was some stress in that, but I believe that it was more likely that he was not thinking clearly because he wasn't walking with God. His mind was not at peace. Isaiah 26:3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, Saul couldn't say that. His heart was troubled. He was afraid. Why? Because he wasn't at peace with God. Chapter 18 implies here as we go on that Jonathan was close enough to observe the conversation between his father and David. And as he studied David, he watches David. He watches how David responds to his father. He watches all things going on. He listens to the conversation. It says that his heart was drawn to him. They became closest of friends. And there was nothing inappropriate about their friendship. We think of that today and you think, how can that be? But there was nothing inappropriate about that friendship. In fact, we see later on that it proved to be very valuable for both of them, as we look at the life of Jonathan and David. But as Saul observes David, and later as we go through chapter 18, there's a much different response. You see, Jonathan observed David, and their hearts were knit together. They found a common bond, and I believe a lot of that was in their relationship with God. But Saul watches David in a completely different response. And his attitude toward David was characterized, I believe, by insecurity. So first of all, I will look at Saul's insecurity. And that was manifested in three different ways: in pride, in hostility, and in paranoia. First thing was pride. First of all, look at some of the ways that Saul responded in pride. Chapter 18, verse 2. Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Perhaps Saul thought that bringing David into his palace, into his side, would help his own cause. But it wasn't what Saul really needed. He didn't need somebody else to boost his cause or his profile. He needed God. It wasn't David that Saul was missing. It was David's God that Saul was missing. Look at chapter 18, verses 6 through 9. It came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. And Saul watches this and he observes all this. And we see that he responds in pride. It says he was very wroth. Why was he wroth? Because his own ego was being attacked. His own pride was being attacked. Saul didn't like that. Saul felt threatened because David was receiving more praise than he did. And he says, what is he going to have but the kingdom? He responded in anger, and it says in verse 9, and Saul eyed David from that day forward. Saul's intent toward David was evil from that day forward. We see a much different response from Saul. We also see Saul's insecurity shown by his hostility. See, Saul reacted with hostility toward David when he felt that his position was being threatened. But in reality, David wasn't threatening Saul. Saul had given up his position because of his disobedience. And so that David was not coming in here thinking, I'm going to get this position. No, David was just doing what he was told. But Saul was acting in hostility. Chapter 18, verse 10. It came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. So this is the first time Saul's anger finally boiled to the top. And finally he lashes out physically. He lashes out in a visible way toward David, threatens his life, throwing this javelin at him, showing his jealousy, his hatred of David. Look at chapter 18, verse 17. Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter Merib, her will I give thee to wife. Only be thou valiant for me and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So Saul here tries to set up David's demise by the hand of the Philistines. He says, I don't want to be guilty of killing him, but maybe I can just kind of put him in front of the danger and let the Philistines take care of that. Well, that scheme didn't work. We see in chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, it says, David said unto Saul, who am I? What is my life or my father's family in Israel that I should be son-in-law to the king? But it came to pass at that time when Merib, Saul's daughter, should have been given to David, that she was given unto Adriel the Maholiite to wife. And so that didn't happen. That scheme didn't work. So he tries with another one of his daughters. He sees in verse 20, Michal, Saul's daughter, loved David. And they told Saul, and the thing pleased him. He said, oh, okay, let me see if it'll work this time. Saul said, I will give him her that she may be a snare to him, that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. Wherefore Saul said to David, thou shalt this day be my son-in-law in the one of the twain. And so he tries this up with his other daughter. He tries to get rid of David by requiring David to come and to kill 100 Philistines. He said, David, I'm not going to require anything of you except that you go kill 100 Philistines and bring me proof. Well, David did one better than that. Look at chapter or verse 25. Saul said, thus shall you say to David, the king desireth not any dowry, but 100 foreskins of the Philistines to be avenged of the king's enemies. But Saul thought to make David fail by the hand of the Philistines. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be the king's son-in-law, and the days were now not expired. Wherefore David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men, and brought their foreskins, and they gave them this full tale to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And Saul gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. And so we see here that David did twice what Saul expected. And he goes out and kills 200 Philistines. And so Saul gives David his daughter Michal to be his wife. But then we see another way that Saul acted in hostility over in chapter 19, verse 1. It says, Saul spake to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David. He put out a notice. He said, David is on the most wanted list. He said, you need to kill David. And he put that out to all of his servants, to Jonathan his son, of his intent to kill David. Again, in chapter 19, verse 8, it says, and there was war again. And David went out and fought with the Philistines and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from him. And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand. And David played with his hand. And Saul sought to smite David even to the wall with the javelin. But he slipped away out of Saul's presence, and he smote the javelin into the wall. And David fled and escaped that night. You know, the moral of that story is don't trust someone who plays with swords and javelins and things like that. Especially someone who's normally angry. I don't trust them. Again, Saul tried to kill David while David played his harp. Again, chapter 19, verse 11, we see hostility toward David, how he was willing to do whatever necessary to get rid of him. See, Saul was married now to Saul, or David was married to Saul's daughter. But look at verse 11. It says, Saul also sent messengers unto David's house to watch him and to slay him in the morning. And Michal, David's wife, told him, saying, If thou save not thy life tonight, tomorrow thou shalt be slain. So Michal let David down through a window, and he went and fled and escaped. And Michal took an image and laid it in the bed and put a pillow of goat's hair for his bolster and covered it with a cloth. When Saul sent messengers to take David, she said, He is sick. And Saul sent the messengers again to see David, saying, Bring him to me in the bed that I may slay him. He said, I don't care if he's sick. You bring him to me, I'm going to kill him. And Saul was intent on destroying David because of his pride, because he was hostile toward David. But then we see in chapter 20, verses 20 to 34, this hostility that Saul had toward David even came down to Jonathan, his own son, and even to his wife. Look at chapter 20, verse 24. It says, So David hid himself in the field. When the new moon was come, the king sat him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, Something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. It came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan his son, Wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat, neither yesterday nor today? And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. He said, Let me go, I pray thee, for our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, that I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. He said unto him, Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion, and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. And Jonathan answered Saul his father, and said unto him, Wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger, and did eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David, because his father had done him shame. So this anger that Saul had toward David comes down to Jonathan, comes down to his own wife. He says, Thou son of a perverse, rebellious woman. It showed it affected all of his other relationships. But then we see here the third way that his insecurity was manifested was by his paranoia. Look back in chapter 18, verse 12. Says, and Saul was afraid of David. Look at verse 15. Saul saw that David behaved himself very wisely. He was afraid of him. Look at verse 29. Saul was yet the more afraid of David, and Saul became David's enemy continually. He was afraid of David. Why? Last week we talked about how Saul was fearful because of his disobedience, because of his relying on himself, because of his ill-preparedness for battle. But here we see that fear affected his relationship with others. Look at, let me read a couple passages for you. Joshua chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to go first to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 25. Let me read that for you. Deuteronomy 2, verse 25. It says, That this day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Then Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. The spies had gone into Jericho. And Rahab takes him into her house. She goes up and she hides him on the rooftop. But it says in verse 8, Before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in man, in any man, because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, when God is at work, the ungodly are afraid. Why was Saul afraid? Because God was using David. God was working in David's life, but God wasn't in Saul's life. We were talking in Sunday school this morning how that the Spirit of God came upon Saul at one time, and then later the Spirit of God came upon Saul at another time. But you know what the Bible says back in chapter 16 when David was anointed king? Chapter 16, verse 13, that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. What was different? God came upon Saul, the Spirit of God came upon Saul to work and do things through Saul, but the difference was the Spirit of God came upon David from that day forward. It was evident in David's life that God was working on his behalf, and Saul was angry. Saul was hostile toward David. He was paranoid of David. He was afraid of David. He was worried about his own position, his own popularity. He thought David was a threat to him. But that paranoia was all in his mind, which is where all fears begin. For the next several chapters, as you go through 1 Samuel, you see that Saul pursues David. He tries to destroy David. David's in this place, so Saul goes there, and he's not there. David goes over here, or Saul goes here because David's over here. Well, David escapes, and so Saul continuing pursuing David, trying to destroy him, trying to kill him. Why? David's a threat to him. No, David's not a threat. Saul was missing something. But even in all those times where Saul was pursuing David, we see that David still maintained his integrity. So I want to look at, secondly here, at David's integrity. You see, integrity could be defined as completeness or maturity or excellence in character. You know, I believe that's one of the reasons why Saul was so afraid of David. He saw excellence in David. He saw that the maturity in David, even as a young man. When we think of someone who has integrity, we think of someone who lives above reproach, who makes decisions carefully, who demonstrates maturity in their life. Several times in chapter 18, we see that David demonstrated integrity. Chapter 18, verse 5, it says, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. David did exactly what he was told to do. He behaved himself wisely. Verse 14 of chapter 18, it says, David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Verse 15, wherefore when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. And then in verse 30, the end of that verse, David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. David was a man of integrity. He manifested that in three different ways. First of all, his respect for authority. Did David have any reason to turn against Saul's leadership? Sure. David said, I'm not following that guy. He had every reason because of Saul's anger. Besides having javelin thrown at him at least twice. But we read that David behaved himself wisely. When it says in the verses that David behaved himself wisely, part of that was how he responded to his authorities. In verse 5, it says, David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. He still had a respect for Saul's authority enough to do what he was told by his authorities. So he obeyed. Chapter 18, verse 13, it says, Saul made him his captain over 1,000, and he went out and came in before the people. Again, David fulfilled his duties. David did what he was told to do. And even when David's life was threatened, he did not retaliate. Look at chapter 24. We're going to jump ahead a little bit. 1 Samuel chapter 24. Look at verse 4. This is the time where Saul's pursuing David, and they're playing a game of cat and mouse out in the wilderness. And David always escapes because the Lord delivers David out of Saul's hand. But look at this time in chapter 24. It says, "And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, Behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily." And so David had an opportunity to kill Saul and this chase for once and for all. David just went and he cut off the skirt of Saul. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul. Even that little act. David's like, why can I do that? How can I lift up my hand against God's anointed? I can't do that. It wasn't right. It says his heart smote him. He said unto his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord." So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, "My lord the king." When Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, "Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh thy hurt? Behold, this day thine eye hath seen how the Lord hath delivered thee today into mine hand in the cave, and some bade me kill thee. But mine eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed." Was Saul a godly king? No. But even so, David says, "I will not raise up my hand against the Lord's anointed." What does he mean by that? Who chose? What did we learn in Sunday school this morning? Who chose Saul to be king? God did. God placed him there. Was it God's best? I can't honestly say it was God's best, but I believe he gave the people what they wanted. But God put him there. God placed him there. Look at chapter 26, verse 6. It says, "And David then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. And behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. And David said to Abishai, Destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, As the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go." So again, David had an opportunity to kill Saul. He said, I will not, and you will not. And he kept his men from that as well. And you know what? We may not always agree with the decisions that our leaders make, and it seems like today it's becoming more and more frequent, but it doesn't give us any reason to retaliate against them. Now, we have a legal process we can do to remove them from office. It's called the election ballot. And we can voice our vote in that way. But ultimately, it's the Lord who sets up and takes down those in authority. Daniel says in Daniel 2, verse 21, it says, He removeth kings and setteth up kings. God is the one who does that. And though we may not completely understand it, he works providentially through the choices of people. And God works providentially, and he sets up kings, and he sets up those he wants in that position, allows those he wants in that position. Why? Sometimes we don't know why. Sometimes we speculate why. Sometimes we look back at history and where our country's come from and say, okay, well, that's why. But God sets up kings. God takes down kings. And David did not lift up his hand against Saul because he had respect for God's authority and for the authorities that God had set up, and he maintained his integrity. The second way that David manifested his integrity is through his preservation of his life. In Psalm 25, let me just read a couple of these passages. Psalm 25, verse 21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." Psalm 26, verse 1, it says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." And then in chapter 41, verse 12, says, "As for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face forever." What was it that allowed David to escape the many attempts on his life? I believe it was the fact that the Lord was with David. We saw that in chapter 12, or in chapter 18, verse 12. The Lord is with him. The Lord is watching over him. We see evidence of that back in chapter 16, verses 13, verse 18, that the Lord was with David. And Job chapter 1 describes Job as a man of integrity. And why was it that God preserved Job's life and did not allow Satan to kill him? I believe part of it was because of Job's integrity. You know, it says in chapter 2, verse 9, that even Job's wife indicated that Job was a man of integrity. She says, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity?" She says, "Curse God and die." She says, "Job, why would you, after all that God has done to you, why would you still be a man of integrity? Why would you still serve that God? Curse God and die, Job." But Job maintained his integrity. And I believe that's why God would spare him. And David's life was preserved because of his integrity. God knew the true motives of his heart and how he desired to do right. And the third thing we see David maintained or manifested his integrity was in godly friendships. We see that in chapter 18, verse 1, where he talks about how he and Jonathan, their souls were knit together. In verse 3, it says, "Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." They had a very close relationship, and it was one that where they protected each other, where they confided in each other, they strengthened each other in the Lord. David even made a covenant with Jonathan back over in chapter 20, verse 14, that he would show kindness to Jonathan's descendants. In chapter 14, or chapter 20, verses 14 to 17. Even after Jonathan was off the scene, they made a covenant, and David said, "I will be kind to your descendants." If you go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, we see that David followed through. And he found a descendant of Jonathan whose name was Mephibosheth. And he brought him into his palace and he took care of him and he provided for him because he had made that covenant to Jonathan. And it was his godly friendships that showed he maintained his integrity. And you know, you can tell a lot about a person by the friends they have. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." Acts chapter 2, verse 42 talks about the people and the believers in the early church, how they gathered together. You know, it's important to fellowship with the right kind of people. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers." Why? Because they had something in common. They had a common bond in Christ. They wanted to associate with the right kind of people, with godly people, and so they fellowshiped with one another. Hebrews chapter 10, 24 and 25, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." I was talking to somebody the other day about how the churches are going to oftentimes just one Sunday morning service, getting rid of Sunday evening, getting rid of turning Sunday, Wednesday nights into, you know, different activities and things. What does the Bible tell us? So much the more. We need to be doing it more. We need to be fellowshipping with believers more. Because why? Because the day of Christ is approaching. We need to be sharpening. We need to be supporting one another, helping one another. David's friendship with Jonathan was a way that he manifested his integrity in that godly friendship. How was it that David was able to maintain his godly character? Because he chose to be a man of integrity and he walked with God, in contrast to Saul's insecurity that left him at a loss in his relationship with God. So I ask this morning, whose example will we follow? Will we be people of integrity? We follow the example that David set, who followed God, who was obedient, who was respectful, had godly friendships. Are we going to follow that example? Will our lives testify to others that we are followers of Christ and we're walking with him? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the example of David. Father, we see that his life was one of integrity. Father, help us to follow that example. Father, help us to respect those in authority. Help us to have godly relationships. Father, thank you for what you do in our lives to preserve us, to keep us. Help us to walk with you. Father, I pray you be glorified in each one of our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.